The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning, this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 24th of April, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin DeGaulin Green. You can find out why I am DeGaulin today. In fact, I have a feeling that maybe all of the authorities can find out why it's DeGaulin today after this interview with Bahamas National Trust. Now listen, this show is going to be packed with information. I know we are in the thick of election time and politics time, right? But we are going to have a conversation separate of politics, but that may fuel, right, because hopefully by the end of this discussion, without a word about politics, you will understand why it's so important to ensure that the Bahamas National Trust has the resources it needs to do the work that it's doing. And at the end of this show, you may see me in the harbor because I'm getting on my boat. And I figure if I could get on my boat as soon as the show is over, I could make it to Inagua for tomorrow, because tomorrow, the 25th of April, 2026, is Bahamas National Parks Day. And the way that we celebrate Earth Day in the Bahamas, which was on the 22nd of April, is with National Parks Day. Now, we have 33 national parks in this country. And I'm going to let the staff from Bahamas National Trust tell you what a national park is, right? Because they got one park at Montague. And that seemed like a national park. The people has pulled their boat up there. The people has pulled their car on the park. Everybody, they have festival and fair. Everything from anywhere is beyond that park. But I'm not quite sure if that's what they mean by national park. So I have joining me this morning Kimberly Knowles from Bahamas National Trust. She's going to introduce herself and tell us what role she plays at the trust. And then she's going to tell us why National Parks Day, a little bit about the parks, whether I could ride a seahorse or not. These are important questions. And what's going on throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas tomorrow on National Parks Day. Now listen, when I first saw this, I was excited because I said day of showing people how to park their car. Because that's how you do it. You have to focus on it for the whole day, how to park it. But that's not what they mean when they say National Park Day. Good morning, Ms. Knowles. How you doing?
Morning. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having us here today.
Good. So tell us, what do you do at BNT?
So I'm a development officer, so I actually wear multiple different hats. But for today, I'm the event coordinator at the BNT. So we're talking a little bit about National Parks Day, why it's important. And, you know, you raise the question of what is a national park, and talking about politics in that realm. The BNT, to start from the very beginning, was established as a non-governmental organization to protect the environment.
All right.
In the 1950s, 1960s, the Bahamian government was looking at the possibility of selling some islands in the Exumas to create national funds. And it was established that this particular area that they were trying to sell was incredibly important ecologically. So a group of concerned citizens came together and decided to build out the Bahamas National Trust as a non-governmental organization that could manage very important ecological areas. And that became the very first park, which is Exuma Keysland Sea Park, which is actually the very first marine park in the world. So we are built to protect areas from any interference whatsoever in the future, to protect those important ecological spaces. And to be a national park, you have to come under the Bahamas National national trust.
Okay. Now, when you say important, who is it important to? Like, is it just the Bahamas? Because I have this thing, right? I have a petition, and as soon as I convince the mosquitoes to join my petition, it could work. Because what you doing here in the Bahamas if you ain't prepared to protect the environment, right? Mm-hmm. But I would like to say to the world, right, that are parts of this environment, right, the geographic space, that are so important that this importance, in parentheses, is not just to the Bahamas, that this space is vital for
the world.
For the world.
Correct.
And the whatever it is the Earth is doing, it can't do it without us.
Correct.
Yes, ma'am.
So the importance of these parks is, number one, the Bahamas has a lot of mangrove forest. A lot of people don't know this, but mangroves are actually super carbon cleaners. So 1 acre of mangrove forest cleans as much carbon out of the air as about 10 acres of rainforest.
Now, I want the other formula. How many acres of healthy mangrove do I need? Right, or how many acres of beach, right, does 1 acre of healthy mangrove protect?
Boy, it depends. It depends on the ecological points there. So shorelines are actually not protected exclusively by mangroves. They're also protected by important sort of fauna that is on the shoreline. So sea oats, for example, with very, very deep roots, they protect shorelines and beaches.
Okay.
There's buttonwood, which is a quasi-mangrove, but it's not really a mangrove because it doesn't really grow in salt water, but it does protect shorelines and has those deep root systems that help as well.
All right.
Mangroves help by protecting sort of the flooding of areas. So, for example, Pinewood was a wetland with mangroves. Water wants to go where water wants to go. When you remove that wetland, water still wants to go there.
Yeah.
So that's what
it's like
those
mangroves protect from.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So if you keep mangroves on shorelines, they protect flooding from the areas behind them. So that's why those are very, very, very important. And that's why we do all of the wonderful work that we do, continuing to protect different species. I mean, the Exuma Keys Land and Sea Park is really important because if you were to actually have that park as a no-take zone, it is a fish nursery. So it means that we could feed the entire Bahamas out of that. If we just left that one park alone and let fish breed there, you can find fish as far down as Cat Island, as far up as Bimini, that come from the Exuma Keys Land and Sea Park. So we can feed the entire Bahamas from the nursery that is that park and is that mangrove field.
So maybe for environmentalists, for people who are concerned about the environment, maybe a great action would be to create a campaign to legislate to create laws to to recognize that that particular park, Exuma Land and Sea Park, is a no-take zone.
And that's what it is. We've done that.
Oh, we've done that.
We've done that. We've got the laws in place. We've got everything going. It's all about enforcement, and it's about public support of us and that we have there to be able to watch the areas. Obviously, you have a lot of different boats that come through there. Not everybody knows all of the rules exactly, so it's trying to disseminate that information to people to get everybody with eyes on the water. If you're in the Exuma Keys Land and Sea Park, open your eyes. Watch. See what people are doing. They're not allowed to fish. They're not allowed to take there, make sure that doesn't happen. We're all supposed to be watching together. These parks are for Bahamians, and that's also why we do National Parks Day, right?
Yeah.
It's to get people inside the parks. These parks are protected for you, for Bahamians. That's what they are meant for. It's so that the same experience that I had as a child going to the Exumas or going to the retreat or going anywhere, you're still going to be, my kids are still going to be able to have, my grandkids are still going to be able to have. We're still going to have that beautiful crystal clear water that the mangroves provide us. We're still going to have these beautiful old growth forests like primeval forest. We're still going to have these wonderful collections like we do at the retreat with our palm collection. So we're really trying to save spaces for the future and for future Bahamians so that we can have the same natural experience for generations to come. A thing about the Bahamas that we always say, you know, you can see it from space. It's such a beautiful place. And that's really what we're trying to protect. It's a very important, not just from an ecological standpoint, but from an economic standpoint, keeping the Bahamas the most beautiful place in the world is very good for us. So supporting the BNT and the work that we do is really about keeping this the most beautiful place in the world. So this day, National Parks Day tomorrow, is about us giving back to the Bahamians as well. It's a free day for anyone to come and enjoy the parks, come and experience it, be in nature, walk around, you know what I mean? You get to do some activities. So for example, at Primeval Forest National Park, 8 a.m., we've got yoga going on. There's guided tours. We've got pottery classes with Scotch Bonnet.
Listen, you are sliding too quickly through that list of activities. Let's go to the phone line. Let me see if this call is still here.
Sure.
Parks are open tomorrow for National Parks Day activities. And then maybe we call off one or two of the list of 33 national parks that we have.
Absolutely.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. And
good morning. Boy, I don't know what happened to that call. Okay, so No, people call back. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. We are talking about National Parks Day with Bahamas National Trust. And I was just getting ready to tell them that I am a certified interpreter, mm-hmm. right? I interpret Imperial Pigeon, Royal Crown Pigeon, mm-hmm. Tobacco Dove, you know, under the tobacco mm-hmm. dove, you have to understand them to know what that means. But when I told my producer I was going to go and take a course on marine interpretation, he didn't believe it had any value. But now that you say that Exuma is a no-take park, see, I could talk to the marine life. I could say, look here, are you from that park? Mm-hmm. These people take you without permission? Did you give them your permission to take you? I could do these things. Mm-hmm. Dear young people, don't be limited, right, by the traditional jobs are and what they could be. Mm-hmm. People are trying to communicate with dolphins.
Yep.
Right? And I could be one of them. Mm-hmm. I could try.
Mm-hmm.
I could try. All right. So activities tomorrow for National Parks Day are taking place on the island of New Providence, Abaco, Exuma, Inagua, and Grand Bahama.
Yes.
Right? But we have parks throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes, we do.
All right. But I'm glad we go to the north, Abaco and Grand Bahama, mm-hmm. straight down the chain to the south to Inagua. So tomorrow at the Retreat Garden. The Retreat Garden is
on Village Road.
In New Providence.
In New Providence.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have paint and sip and clay carving workshops.
Yes, we will. There'll also be a ton of other stuff to do. Educational booths. There's coloring competitions. There's a lot going on.
Pause. Coloring competitions with an S. For adults, adults could enter the coloring competition. Like, I'm not saying let me compete against the children. I can beat them. But do you have an adult section for the coloring competition?
I'm sure if we get enough participants, we can do an adult section.
What's the painting station? Is that what you plan for the adults? Like painting station and then coloring competition.
Well,
for
what we'll do is we'll give the kids the finger paints and we'll give the adults the acrylic paint for the walls.
Oh, all right. Oh, like mural painting.
No, we just need to refresh the building.
Oh, I'm cool with that. I for that. I have my Huckleberry Finn moment this Saturday. Painting stations.
So that's for the kids where we're going to have some little things for them to paint, something to take home with them, some little activities for them, yeah.
Discrimination, but still, I like it. Life-size puzzles.
They can put together, they kind of Velcro together on the walls, you can do them. That's sort of a family activity because the puzzles are, I made them this year and they're
really cool. Because my life is a puzzle.
Yes.
I was hoping y'all could help me put it together. And a clay carving workshop, how much clay y'all giving me? I could make a small scooter.
Well, I mean, you could try. I don't know how it could roll.
With wheels, with clay wheels.
Oh, okay.
They don't have one book. They have one book out there called Wheels of Clay People. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it, but we should read it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's Park Quest?
So that is basically like a scavenger hunt that we're doing throughout the park so they can grab certain things. It's also a way to teach kids about how to identify different things and different plants and different parts of nature while they're there. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning experience as well as a really fun activity.
All right. I don't want to take y'all off y'all instructions in the Park Quest, right? But I know that there's a tree mm-hmm. in the park, right? Called a honey, mm-hmm. right? And it produces fruit. I don't know if it produces fruit well in this territory, right? But it is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, right? The pictures of the fruit. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, the park is just an amazing place to go. But hold on, we got a caller here. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Grant.
Hi, good morning. Turn your radio down for me. Hi.
Remember me? I remember having you down at Breezes. You had the.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I was back home, and now we're packing a box of sweet tamarind for you.
Why, thank you very much. I and everybody thanks you because now they know sweet tamarind coming to Erin from Inagua, right?
Very sweet, just like the one they sell in the food store. I remember packing these boxes. I said, look, like Inagua, the tree was so crowded. Large ones, all size, the dry ones, like where they pack in the box in Inagua, where they sell at the food store.
Listen.
Anyway, thank you. I heard it on the show. I said, let me call Ms. Green. I don't know how it was packed. Dream, I was packing a box of diamond brand in Matthewtown.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Wait till you hear the other secret I can tell them about Matthewtown, sir.
Okay. And the parks are there with the flamingos.
Yeah, we'll be there with the flamingos doing tours in Inagua this Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Listen, when you see the people, tell them, the people in Nassau, say good morning and welcome to the national park.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Listen, this gentleman, apparently in Inagua, they have tons of sweet tamarind trees, right? And the beautiful thing about tamarind is that it may dry on the tree, but as long as it's not moldy, right, you can reconstitute it for drinks. And apparently the ganep in Inagua, sweet like syrup, right?
Boy, ain't nothing I love more than a sweet ganep now.
Yes, yes. Oh, I got to get on my boat to get to Inagua. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Did we miss you? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
I'm sorry I got cut off somehow, but to your guests also. And Miss you, Miss Green, you know this is a pet peeve of mine, because I live in Pride Estate. Right next to Harold Middleton Pond. To your guests, I was there from I moved as the first resident down here, and I picked my house right on 39 feet across the road from Harold Pond. They call it Sparky's Pond now. But I was down there for Mr. Eric Carey was in charge of the Bahamas National Trust.
Yes, so what's the complaint?
The complaint is, Miss Green, I've been asking Mr. Carey from that time, and I asked the new guy this time, to come clean down this thing. When we first moved down here, Miss Green, you could see the pretty ducks and birds and everything on the pond. The bushes around pond now has grown up where the bushes are reaching the lamp pole wires.
Okay.
I called BPL to come clear the wires. We cannot see the pond anymore. I asked the people from Bahamas National Trust if we could clean it down. They say don't touch it. Mr. Rick Fox is down here with tractors and everything to clean it. I told him don't touch it until we talk to the Bahamas National Trust.
That's very important. I can tell you why, Sparky. Like this is, and thank you very much for the call, right? This is one example of what appears to be tension between human and nature, right? But it's not really tension between human and nature. I want to say that there are very legitimate reasons why BNT may have allowed the reeds, the rushes to grow so high. The ponds may be in a recovery period, right? Where they are allowing it to allow certain areas to recover. It's a problem taking tractors in there because, first of all, like you said, there may be duck nests, right? There are some birds that make their nests on the ground. There are a lot of animals that harbor on the ground under fallen leaves and in thick rushes and bushes, right? That's how they lay their eggs, little insects and lizards and things. And so it's very important that you have like an ecological assessment of the area before you bring a tractor in. And just like a woman, just like a cat, you can't tell them where to have their baby. Right? And so last year there may have been breeding grounds to the west of your property. This year there may be breeding grounds to the east of your property, right? And so I appreciate that people who, especially those who chose to live there, want access to that pond, but that's the beauty of living next to an ecological feature, right? You get to be surprised by its natural evolution. Let's go to the next caller quickly, and then because we got to get back to these parks, man, and the activities. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Good morning to your guest who I didn't get a name.
Morning, I'm Kimberly Knowles.
All right, good morning, Ms. Knowles. Just want to say appreciate what you're doing for the environment. I want to give you all a little story about what happened to me a few times. I was working. I'm a dive master at the moment. I was working for a dive company. We used to operate at the Southern side of Nassau. So we come out the Defense Force Station. And I had a few trips where I went out to the statue that's over by Clifton Pier. No, we're having a good time with the guests. The reef is kind of dead in the back there, but we get to see the statue, see a little bit of reef. And then all of a sudden, you see this kind of purplish glare on top of the water. You look around, you come back up, all your gear are sticky with oil. Like, I don't know what's going on by Clifton Pier where they take the oil out from the boats, but they do have a leak in the bag. We've been complaining about it, and I've had guests like, all type of, they have black tick oil in their hair. It's all over the gear. It's all over the boat. And the more we complain about it, we don't see anything happen about it. So something y'all should look into.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. I think this is a legacy issue, and BNT is constantly advocating and lobbying for agreements and arrangements to mitigate and eradicate as much of this leakage as possible. But that doesn't prevent other private sector organizations from forming with the specific purpose of assisting the state and national agencies in implementing programs and strategies to, if not reduce the amount of leakage, increase the amount of capture, immediate capture, to prevent the continual spread of the oil through very, very important ecological spaces. One last call. Listen, y'all, I have to finish this. I can't get on the boat to Nago until I finish this list. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to your wonderful guest.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, the gentleman, you know, I love how he called because he reminded me of something that I knew was going on from about 30 to 20 years now. At least my brother worked at Stuart Coal from back in the days, and this is plenty of articles he'd written. I'd written an article, and people were writing articles, and the two of us alike, so from I could know. I mean, for about 30 years, I'm saying. So, I mean, if I can remember from my first daughter being born, you could see the color of the rainbow, just to be a little humorous. You could always see on the water. But like I was calling for me, an imbecile in the pasture, right, was calling for many years for them to coastal species, test them for contaminants, oil, et cetera, hydrocarbons, et cetera, because they know that they are persistent organic pollutants. But I'm glad that Eddie mentioned something with the mangoes, right, because I was looking up this rabbit hole a while back, and I was remembering a beech nut study tree from Germany on the sequestering abilities of plants. And so I remember the beech nut tree, which I think was an adult tree, so it... When I Googled the average CO2 that is, can be offset or sequestered by a mango plant, it actually says 12 point something. And I remember an adult beech nut tree, which is a huge tree, doing about the same thing per year, right? And so then if Google is saying, not me because I'm a dummy, it's saying actually like a tree, the mangroves, an adult mangrove can sequester 3 to 10 times more than any forest tree. So I'm wondering if the geniuses who are dealing with the carbon accounting and using the carbon model, if they are contemplating this, given the fact that they want to wholesale carbon credits at lower rates and then sell it as according to the market, and then you can sell it at higher rates. It's all about making money. And I'm wondering if they have this in mind. And so, I mean, it should be more money. All of a sudden, everybody's silent on the carbon credits and the carbon accounting and the carbon accountability.
But 52, you have exposed me to something that I did not know. I want to thank you very much. I kind of got stuck on it, 52, I could be honest with you. Did the caller just say that mango tree, that's documented that mango trees have...
Mangrove.
Mangroves.
Yeah.
Because I thought he said mango.
No, 3 to 10 times. So that's what I was saying. Yeah. 1 acre of mangrove forest can clean as much as either 3 to 10 acres of rainforest.
Right.
It's the same, it can clean the same amount of carbon out of the air because they are 3 to 10 times more efficient at carbon cleaning than forest trees.
Right. See, we have this Bahamian doctor, Dr. Thane Campbell, and he works with a program. It's Deep Science Ventures, but essentially it's a non-academic program that provides a PhD for people who essentially develop a solution to a problem that's sort of local, but that solution can be applied globally, right? And now I'm thinking, I need some funding so we can produce a device, maybe like a blanket that you can throw or straws that you can put in the water that is made of organic matter that has this natural propensity to absorb and clean oil and contaminants from these environments so that we could then deploy them in the area where they're to absorb as much as possible. And then hopefully we could then turn those blankets or straws into a biofuel that then we could then burn to create
energy. Amazing, amazing thing to do. I think that there are some products now that you can throw on top of oil spills that will absorb the oil. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still creating waste in the ocean, but I think that it's less than just the oil itself. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely, I'll be honest with you, the technology when it comes to all of these things is advancing more rapidly than we can even imagine, right? Yeah. Like the things that were happening 20 years ago are absolutely not what's going on now. So there was a bit of a lull over COVID with a lot of research, a lot of things like that, a lot of research being funded and being able to be carried out that we're now picking up back again after COVID, now that people can get back in the field, do more research and things like that. But the technology when it comes to environmental things and the ability to clean things up is just insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And amazing.
Because my grammy tell me she's going to send me to school to learn how to clean, and I didn't know that that was a real thing. Mm-hmm. But now I know. All right, so let's get back to the list of activities taking place over the weekend. Saturday, the 25th of April, National Parks Day. Yes. We are leaving the retreat garden with paint and sip, clay carving workshops, life-size puzzles, park quests, and then we go into the Exuma Keys Land and Sea Park, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. all day, hiking, snorkeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody can roll to Wardrick Wells. They'll be doing some scheduled guided tours, kind of depending on how many people they have there at the time. There's always some beautiful trails to hike on Wardrick Wells up to Boo Boo Hill. There's also some wrecks down in the back that are beautiful to see. So it's just a beautiful park to kind of walk around. I mean, the Exuma is
why they call it Boo Boo Hill. Is that after a bird?
I don't believe so. I think it's after a man.
Okay.
From long ago.
Okay. No problem. No problem. Okay.
You'll have to go to Exuma to get the full story.
Listen, Exuma is on the way to Inagua.
There you go.
I planned on making a stop.
Stop off.
All right. We go into a break. I thought I was going to Abaco. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to be in Abaco for the birding experience. You guys stay tuned to On the Clock with Erin Green. The country is coming alive tomorrow, National Parks Day, across the archipelago. We'll be right back.
Five years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips, a government-funded luxury car, and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our healthcare. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and not the few. This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world. See how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
5 years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips, a government-funded luxury car, and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and our social services. As they flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our health care. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and not the few. This message was paid for and authorized by National Movement.
Money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Stand up, Bahamas, come on, let's save the bays. God gave us this land, and this land we must save. Stand up, Bahamas, come on, let's save the bays.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. I've got Kimberly Knowles from the Bahamas National Trust joining me. Y'all just heard that song, Save the Bays, I think it's called, by KB. See, that song is like, it's like the prequel to I'm a Boatman, right? Like, because the prequel is like the sequel. Is it the sequel that came out? Anyway, the whole point is you can't be I'm a Boatman unless you have a Save the Bays. Because when KB saying a boatman, I got to catch some fish to make some stew for my family tonight, right? That's why we saving the bays. So KB could always go out and catch a handful of fish to feed his family tonight, right? Like it's in the music. And that's why you got to love who you are, because it's there. Okay, I got a text here. It just says, what's the update on Harold and Wilson Park? Is BNT still working to get it reopened?
Yes, we are trying to work to get it reopened. It is a park that's on pause right now because we actually have to do a lot of scientific assessments and evaluations to figure out exactly what we can do. You have to remember that the BNT is actually a scientific organization at its heart. We want to do everything the right way for the environment and nature. I understand that, you know, us as human beings, we want things to go fast, fast, fast. We want to be able to do things when we want to do them, but we have to be very careful and methodical.
Yeah, no problem. If any group or red snapper there, someone will drop a fishing line there. See, but that, like, that's the thing, right? Because all we know is grouper and red snapper. That's all we know, right? Because they commercial fish. But the beauty of the mangrove is all the other fishes you don't know be up in there.
Yeah, the beauty of the ocean is there's so much life on the bottom that you think is just sand. It's not at all. There's a lot of life happening at the bottom of the ocean that you think is nothing.
Yeah, that's why whoever was trying to make them people eat sand, stop it. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're in Abaco National Park. Birding experience, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. This is an early one. Don't fuss, don't row. The birds be up on time.
Correct.
You gotta catch them. they don't slunk, right?
Exactly. Birds are up early.
Do I need to bring my own binoculars?
Yes, it would be a good idea to bring your own pair if you've got them. But if you don't, they may have some that you can utilize or share.
And if you got a couple extra, put a tag on it and bring them to share, please.
Absolutely.
All right. From Abaco, we are going to Grand Bahama, the Rand Nature Center. Now, this one is another live one. We got live performances by Javon Hunt. We have an eco fashion show by Veronica Ellis. We have an art expo competition, Waste We Create and KGBCC. We have the Children's Reading Circle led by Sam Rose, another paint and sip, hiking, spoken word competition. That's the one I want to be in. See, because y'all seen regular poets, but when I start speaking in dolphin in the middle of my poem and there then swing back to English, that's how you win these things. Scavenger hunt. And more. Now, here's one thing I read about the Rand Nature Center. I think it is that. Is that park, at Lucayan National Park?
Lucayan National Park and Rand Nature Center are two parks in Grand Bahama.
The two separate parks.
Two separate parks, yeah.
It's Lucayan National Park that I read about. Is that really the largest underwater cave system in the world?
Yes. So The cave systems in the Bahamas, because we're made out of limestone, are insane. And that one in particular, is there's so many areas that you can actually see above the water as well, right? So we have massive underground cave systems that are completely underwater. This is one of the ones that you can see both where the water goes in and underneath the caves. And you can also see the above ground portions of those caves as well once you go to Lucayan. And it is, I'm going to be honest, stunning. You want to feel like you are in an ancient mythical place. You can feel the spirit of it. It's beautiful.
Flamingos could swim?
Not in there.
Like they can't get in. They can't get permission to go in.
They can't get in there because a lot of it is small openings.
Yeah.
And those areas wouldn't have the krill that they necessarily like. Flamingos like shallow water where they get the krill and plankton very easily from
the
bottom.
Before you adopt a flamingo, you need to know what it needs. It is a special being,
mm-hmm.
and technically, you cannot adopt a flamingo. So don't mind me.
Correct.
All right. So we're now in Grand Bahama, full of activities. And then from Grand Bahama, we swing in back to the Primeval Forest National Park, where we're going to have yoga at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pottery class.
Yes.
That's exciting, right? But what's even more exciting is it's going to be led by Scotch Bonnet. Who is Scotch Bonnet? What is that?
So she's a lovely woman that has helped us numerous times with her company, Scotch Bonnet, and does some absolutely beautiful sort of ceramics where they use like leaf printing and nature within pottery. So it's just a really fun class. And those will be, they're actually free for everyone to enjoy at Primeval on Saturday. So they'll be every 2 hours starting at 10 a.m.
Okay. I have a friend from Grand Bahama named Lisa Codella. She is an artist and she does ceramic work as well. But listen, Lisa, I was trying to give her the idea, but I think Scotch Bonnet have it. Mm-hmm. I need a container to put my heart in. And I want it to be a big goat pepper,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you have to be able to get through the fire
Correct.
To get to my heart.
Yes.
But man, looking at Scotch Bonnet, I think that's going to be a great time. Snake handling?
Yes. So we've got, we'll have snake handling at the retreat with our usual snakes, our celebrities. And then we'll also have a Dastra coming out to Primeval Forest at 1 p.m. to do a snake handling workshop out there as well with our wonderful partners.
All right. So from Woodyard to what to do if you are wearing a snake and he wants to come home with you.
Yes.
All right. The full 100. Okay. After Primeval Forest National Park, mm-hmm. do they have like semi-caves? Do they have kind of...
Yes. So Primeval is one of the more interesting terrestrial parks that we have because it's an old growth forest. And there's also caves down below where you can see where the previous 100,000 years ago water line was in the Bahamas because there are actually fossilized shells in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So you can clearly see what was the old Bahamas like hundreds of thousands of years ago in that park, which is why we call it Primeval. It's like primordial.
Yeah.
One of the oldest areas, and it really is stunning. There's a lot of little sinkholes that you can look into that have got beautiful plants growing in them. One of my favorites is the maidenhair fern that grows in there.
What's a maidenhair fern?
It is this very delicate, beautiful fern with these little heart-shaped leaves that grow within the walls and crevices of a lot of these sinkholes.
Yeah.
So they grow out towards the light. So sometimes you look down in the sinkhole and there's this beautiful, delicate fern just sort of growing up towards you that are just stunningly beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, we got a caller on the line, and then after the caller, we go into the night. I tell you all, I said Garland, and I go into Nagua. Good morning, caller.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, Adam, I think you guys are very interested on the retreat where they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, now, there's a but to this now. Don't throw no snake on me, because
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you we could have a falling out.
No, man.
You put that snake around me, I ain't throwing that snake directly off of me.
No, you can stand in the back, man. You can stand in the back. Don't worry about that.
They're very...
In the back?
To this Bahamian thing where we don't like snakes. They're very sensitive. But cousin, let me tell you a quick story. About a month and a half ago, I was driving south on Village Road. And I was right at the truss. I just come off the roundabout. And I slowed down because these is a group of like three boys. And they had rocks. And they were throwing rocks, right? And I said, I stopped the car. They throwing them in the road. And they said, no. They were deliberately throwing them at the ground away from the road, right? And when I realized that, I said, they trying to hit a snake. So I stopped my car. And I said, hey, guys. There's no need to be afraid of a snake,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I could see him struggling with his fear, right? Because he's a big boy and he's not supposed to be afraid of nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the second guy hadn't paused yet, right? So I said, you buy the trust, the snake, he just going about his business.
Mm-hmm.
They were still throwing the rock, right? You could see they were still a little scared. And I said to them, I say, listen, that snake not going to bother you, but if you hit one of these cars with this rock, you could be in problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they straighten up right away, like the oldest boy, the switch flip.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his friends, he said, yep, gentlemen, let's go. But they overcame the fear in the mm-hmm. moment, right?
These behemoth boys don't want to hurt you. They don't want anything to do with you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them be, or you can call. There's a group on Facebook where people will come and pick them up for
Scott
you if they're
Johnson,
a real problem.
Scott Johnson.
They are important. You don't want the rats? Keep the snake run, okay?
All right.
They help us a lot.
And I think
and they're non-venomous. They're not going to hurt you at all.
Right. I think the biggest fear is for homeowners with small pets, like mm-hmm. small dogs and cats.
A lot of Bahamian boars are not large enough to eat any type of small dog. They a lot of them aren't even large enough to eat some of the rats I see in Blair too big.
Listen, I got to tell you, I know one boy from Johnson Road.
Listen, these rats getting so big.
He tiny, but I watch him eat four chicken one time. Don't say that. Don't say that, but yeah. There's nothing to be afraid of the Bahamian boar.
No.
I mean, I say the only thing to be afraid of is that maybe they want to come and live with you inside the house.
They because might musk on you and you smell a little funny. That's about it.
Yeah. But your house nice. On our way to Inagua National Park.
Yes.
9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
All day. Let me read exactly what I saw on the flyer, ma'am. Bird walks 10 a.m. Flamingo tours every hour. Giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you giving me a flamingo? We're going to bird. I'm going to walk the birds. Then I'm going to tour the birds, see which one I want. Then I get a bird?
No, no.
No?
We can't do that. And I'm pretty sure if you try it, Casper will come for you. He'll find you. That's our warden down in Inagua, and he is protect those flamingos. Like, that's his children, boy.
Now, I outrun ghosts in Inagua one time, you know. That's the only way I could call myself the Golem.
Well, you can't outrun Casper.
No, you can't. That's why you call him Casper, because he like goes.
Boy?
Yeah, he everywhere. Pop through the walls. But actually, it's illegal
yes.
to interact, to
yep.
try and
you
touch.
You can't shake feathers, you can't touch their eggs, anything like that. You know, the story of flamingos in the Bahamas is actually really, really incredible, and I don't think a lot of people realize that the way that we figured this out was in Florida in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, they kind of hunted down flamingos until they were almost extinct. And there was an ornithologist, his name was Rolf something or other, who heard a rumor about an island in the southern Bahamas that had flamingos on it, mm-hmm. and went hunting through the Bahamas to find this island and landed on landed on Inagua, where there were hundreds and hundreds of flamingos,
because
and we were able to bring back that population.
We always had a saltwater railroad.
Exactly.
Right?
So I think it's Lake Rose or something like that was where he found them. And at that time in the 50s, 60s, there would have been maybe 100 flamingos left in all of the rest of the Caribbean. And then they found Inagua, and we now have over 60,000 flamingos in the Inagua Park alone.
Mm-hmm. And technically, I done adopt all them flamingos, so don't touch them.
Well, they belong to all Bahamians.
Well, don't mind the rest of them.
They're ours. Those flamingos are ours.
You're talking about me. Like Eddie Minnis say, my daddy was a billionaire. He had Cocoa Plum Factory, and we Bahamians, we are billionaires.
Yeah, we are.
We got a flamingo flock that saved the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The Bahamas is small but mighty, boy.
Okay, now I have another. Okay, I got a caller on the line, and then we get to talk about Inagua and iguanas.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Miss Noel.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
Yes. About the mango mm-hmm. and the growing of them, to say, replant them.
Because
mm-hmm. There was someone on the radio before that said, they replant them, I think, when they have the issue up in Freeport since the hurricane.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Who do you contact about doing that? Because I'm in the Pigeon Creek in San Salvador and realized that even the brine corn in Crooked Island, where they cut the marina in there, block predatory fish from going up in the brine pond, and the, for a couple of flamingos, they don't even come there no more because the food that they used to come there and enjoy, mm-hmm. they had to relocate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who, which group or whatever you can, you know, learn to replant the mangroves. So.
So there are many organizations that help us and do these things themselves. But the important thing to know about mangroves and replanting them is that that carbon that mangroves clean out actually gets held within the soil that's underneath them. So that mangrove mud is actually where they store all the carbon. So after Hurricane Dorian specifically, it was a rush to get mangroves replanted where the mangroves that had been there had died. Because what you want to do is catch mangroves in that soil before the soil can release. If that soil then gets flushed out into the ocean where the mangroves had died, then that will release the carbon that those mangroves had already stored. So the restoration was more of, if a mangrove dies in a certain area, we want to replant as quickly as we can in that area so that we can retain the soil that those mangroves are holding in. Mm-hmm. When you do a project or development and you kind of dig all of that area out, you've released the carbon at that point anyway. So I'm sure that there was an environmental impact report done, hopefully, before they did anything like that.
Yes.
So there's probably, you know, government organizations that can be done or what can be done moving forward about it. We just have a responsibility to protect the mangroves that already exist in these massive forests and making sure that we don't lose any. We don't lose any of the carbon that's being stored underneath. But replanting mangroves isn't always the best option. It kind of depends on the area and what's going on around it. So while we have done that before, it's not our main focus at this point because we've gotten where we needed to restore. And just planting mangroves randomly in places isn't actually going to help anything. It needs to be done very, very specifically.
All right. Listen, we are at the end of the show. Thank you, caller. How many parks are there in San Salvador?
Five. We have five different national parks in San Salvador.
West Coast Marine Park.
Yep.
Pigeon Creek National Park.
Yep. Also have the very special Cui, I like to call him, a very special iguana that only exists in San Salvador. It's a separate breed. We actually have it multiple places in the Bahamas where like a separate breed of iguana has developed because they've been on this one island for so many different generations that they've now become a subspecies.
Cui iguana, that's what you call him?
That's what I call him. His scientific name, a little longer than that, but the end of it is Cui, and that's what I call him.
All right, so listen, as we end the show, let me remind y'all, first of all, if you are on an island with a national park activity, go and take advantage. It's free, except for two of the sessions at the retreat, the carving and the paint and sip, have a cost attached to them. But I need you to read this article. BNT urges action as invasive iguana. And you know, as soon as I heard them say green iguana, I said, what type of discrimination is this? Just because it's green, it's invasive? I mean, I'd be invading people's minds and thing, right? But you can't just say it's invasive because it's green. That ain't a reason why, hey.
I mean, it's because the color of it is green, yeah.
No, but I mean,
they could breed and spread all over the place. You never meant from driving around in Florida and they got them dropping out the sky.
I have one friend in Saba in the Dutch Caribbean Islands, and she have an iguana that has come visit her every day. But she don't like iguanas. That's the problem. But here's what I'm saying. What's up with iguana and inagua?
And Inagua don't got tons of iguana, you know.
Because I believe it was a mistake at Customs and Immigration.
Must be.
How do you get the N where the G's supposed to be and the G where the N's supposed to be? Iguanas belong in the Bahamas. If Inagua in the Bahamas,
there you go.
Iguanas should be in the Bahamas too. And we're going to protect everything we can in the Bahamas. Bahamas National Trust celebrates World Earth Day with our own National Parks Day. We have 33 national parks we need to protect, people.
That we do.
Everybody adopt a park and see what you could do to assist the national efforts.
And if you want to help the BNTA on a daily basis, you can become a member. Just go on our website. You can click. It starts at $30 a year, and that can support the BNT.
And membership has its privileges. Trust me. I can go. Technically, I can't go talk to a flamingo anytime I want, right? But I could go down to Inagua and organize a tour with affiliated agencies to do it. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Aaron DeGaulin Green. Trust me, I done outrun one ghost in Inagua. Casper, you can't catch me. But I wouldn't make you chase me either. You guys have a great day. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you.
We fighting for the rich. We fighting for the poor.
The following is a paid political message.
Outta Kalani. For you. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300. 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.